Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The Secret to Success with God. As a Christian, are you striving to please the Lord with your life? Daniel's life started with the negative news of Egypt and Babylon's battle for supremacy with Judah stuck in the middle. God had told the prophet Jeremiah that Judah would be given over to Babylon because of the gross sin in the land. Daniel was only a teenager when they invaded Jerusalem and carried him off to Babylon, where he was castrated and trained to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel did not become depressed or pessimistic with all these obstacles, but had total faith in God and the mindset not to compromise. And eventually he rose to become the prime minister over Babylon. In this message, you will find out why he was preferred by God over other men. It is entitled, Daniel, a Man of No Compromise. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on February the 20th. 2011, and I'm working with The Secret to Success with God. And today, we're going to look upon Daniel, a man of no compromise. And let's turn again to Isaiah chapter 55. That's Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah chapter 55. And you're going to pick it up in verses 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We've been asking a question we began last week. Can we know what God thinks? Can we actually understand our Heavenly Father? And the answer is, yes, we can. And I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. That's the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses there as we repeat this from last week. That's Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. And I want to pick it up in verse number 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver, but their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord God. Verse 16, though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, their own shall be delivered, but the land shall not be desolate. Now in this chapter, God has singled out Noah, Daniel, and Job. And we laid it out last week, that God preferred these men. He said, if these men were in the land now, when the Babylonians are going to come, they would deliver themselves, but not their children. You and I are made righteous in Christ. We cannot deliver our children. We cannot have people saved because they are relatives to us. Each one must come by himself. So the question on is this. We looked at Noah last week. He had faith. And today we're going to look upon Daniel, a man of no compromise. a man of no compromise. And let's begin by looking at Jeremiah 37. That's the book of Jeremiah, the 37th chapter. If you pick it up, you're going to pick it up in verse number 12. Let's look upon Daniel now. Daniel did not have a happy childhood. And he was born toward the end of the kingdom of Judah. And I must heard talk about a coming attack by Babylon as a child. His parents would have talked about the conflict between the king and his man versus the prophet Jeremiah. Daniel was born in troubled times. We are living in troubled times. And let's read here what happened in Jerusalem in Jeremiah 37, 12. And then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. Jeremiah now had prophesied. He knew Jerusalem was going to fall, and he was simply going to take off. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Ariah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "You forced away to the Chaldeans, or you're going to run away and join the Chaldeans." Then said Jeremiah, "It is false. I've fallen away to the Chaldeans." But he hearkened unto him, so Ariah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes, or the politicians. Wherefore the princes, or the politicians, were wroth with Jeremiah, smote him, put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word for the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is. For," said he, "you shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said to the king, Zedekiah, "What have I offended against you, or against your servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets which prophesied to you, saying, 'The king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against his land'? Therefore, hear now, I pray you, my Lord, the king, let my supplication, I pray you, be accepted before you, that you cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there." Then Zedekiah the king commanded they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him a daily piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city was spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Daniel now, as a young man, must have heard what was going on. He knew the tension. He saw the military activity. And he realized that the 10 northern tribes had been destroyed. Israel in that part was gone. Here were the Babylonians outside. Where was God? This is where you and I are today. Where is God in all our trouble? Is he there? And then he heard about the political leaders, how they hated Jeremiah. In chapter 38, verses 4 through 6, we read this. "Therefore the princes said unto the king, 'We beseech you, let this man be put to death.'" That's in Jeremiah chapter 38, verse number 4. "Therefore the princes said unto the king, 'We beseech you, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeks not the welfare of his people, but the hurt." In other words, they considered Jeremiah a traitor. Jeremiah said, "God has judged this nation. The Babylonians will come. Do not fight. And the politicians said, we got to kill this guy. He is demoralizing our soldiers. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, is in your hand. For the king is not he that can do anything against you. With other words, Zedekiah had lost power now. Then took the Jeremiah and cast me to the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Eventually, Jeremiah was rescued here by the king's men. But this is the background of Daniel. And then we find this. Daniel must have been in the city. The walls were broken. The Babylonians came in and they started to kill men and women and children. The temple was destroyed. And there was Daniel standing with his friend, probably 15 to 16 years old. And everything that was dear to him had been crushed. It would be like the Russians and the Chinese taking over America and destroying our cities, killing people, and carting off people, American people, to China and Russia for slave labor. How well would we fare? Would we have faith to see Washington burned, New York destroyed, San Francisco, Los Angeles wiped out? What would we do? Now turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Remember now, he was only a teenager, not even a man yet. And this is what the Bible says. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah's hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed and of the princes, children whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding signs and such as ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I want you to see Daniel now and his friends in shackles, a long column, Babylonian soldiers on the saddle horses, and these boys, shackled, walking away from Jerusalem. The temple that Solomon had built, where the presence of God had been, was in ruins, destroyed. Daniel did not know where his mom and dad was. If he had siblings, they were lost. And then when he came to Babylon, he was castrated, never to be able to have children. He was destroyed as a man. Here he was now in the king's compound, the very king that had destroyed his homeland, destroyed the temple. And he was being trained to be a slave or worker for the king of Babylon. What would you have done if you would have been Daniel? Would you have said, forget it. I hate this guy. I hate this place. Let's start a rebellion. Let's kill a few Babylonians, but take them down with us before we die. But something, someone had spoken to Daniel. And Daniel simply decided that he was going to serve God regardless of circumstances. To the Jews, it seemed that God did not exist. He had abandoned his people. Look what I wrote in the box here. If any person had the right to be depressed and discouraged, it would have been Daniel. All what was dear to him had been taken away from him. Daniel now was a chosen vessel. But you see, God can make a choice and call you out. But you had to cooperate. You can have a call of God upon your life, and you will never amount to anything because you're not responding. Daniel had a call upon his life. And we do not know how Daniel prayed in those early years. We just notice that Daniel responded. And in his heart he said, I will rise above circumstances. I'm sure that Daniel thought about Joseph. How Joseph was sold as a slave to Egypt. Joseph then was in the Potiphar's house, lied, and he got into prison. And how God blessed him and he became the prime minister of Egypt. Let's read now from verses 5 through 8. Of first Daniel, of Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And to whom the prince of the eunuch gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah of Shadrach, to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Why did he change names? He wanted to destroy every thought of Hebrew. Now, how would you like to be taken to China as a prisoner, being castrated? And then they would say, okay, now we're going to change your name. This is your new name. Blah, 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 whatever that is in Chinese. How would you like that? Would you say, okay? The devil threw everything he had against Daniel. Everything he could to push the buttons to get Daniel to lose it. But he didn't. Look in verse 9 now. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. If you are called by God, if you have an anointing upon you, people, even if they're not saved, will take a liking to you. They will like you. There'll be some people that will simply say, I prefer you. Now, Daniel had not, but we know, received any instructions for the Lord. But he simply said, I'm not going to sin with my body. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince and the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel to favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. But in other words, in those days you were not fired. You got a haircut. A 12-inch haircut. If you didn't do what they wanted you to do. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Prove my servants, I beseech you, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat, that is, vegetables, and water to drink. Then let a countenance be looked upon you, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as you see, deal with your servants. So he consented to them in his matter, and proved them 10 days. During these 10 days now, Daniel did not know the outcome. This is the problem when we read the Bible. We know the outcome. But Daniel did not know the outcome. Here he was now, 10 days, living on vegetables and used water. Could his body assimilate it? Could he be just as good as the rest of them was? Well, God was with him. Let's read on. In verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge, skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom, understanding, that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel now had proved to himself and to his friends and to the people in Babylon that when they served their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were successful and they were blessed. Thanking God is something that we do because we simply want to be praising the Lord and worshiping Him. In chapter 2 now of Daniel, we have not a king had a dream. And the king had a dream, it bothered him, he couldn't remember it. And he simply called for all the soothsayers and the wise men. They couldn't tell him the dream. He said, "But they said, well, tell us a dream, we will interpret it." They could not. He would not do that. He didn't know it. Now, in verse number 20 in that chapter, verse number 20, we read this. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his." Let's back up a little bit. Let's back up here to verse number 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the things known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was a secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. There was a decree. The king's order was there. If I can't get this interpreted, we're going to kill these people. Now when Daniel got the vision, and I really want to catch this now. He got the vision from the Lord. He didn't say, okay, let's run down to the king. He simply said, I'm going to be praising God first. This is what you and I need to do. In trouble, we need to praise the Lord. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and sub-kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who have given me wisdom and might, has made known unto me now what we desire of you. For you have now made known unto us the king's matter. When we get in trouble, when there's trouble coming, if we slow down first and start worshiping the Lord, praising him, then things will change. But you see, we are so westernized now that we don't have time to praise God. We've gone to the praise right now. When you call somebody, they no longer say good morning or good afternoon, whatever it is. It's just to the business, to the business. There's no civility. He took time to praise the Lord. Then we had no hesitation. No hesitation. Look at verse number 24 now. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Daniel was probably in his early 20s. Can you imagine this now? It was a death sentence on Daniel and the others. He simply said, bring me to the king. I can handle it. Then Arioch brought into Daniel before the king in haste and said this unto him, I have found a man of the capital of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, and the magicians, the soothsayers show to the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and make known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, which shall be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head upon your bed are these. And then he went in and he told him the dream and he gave him the interpretation. The result is, or the result actually was this, that the king simply melted before Daniel. Look in verse number 46. Same chapter 2. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar, he was a potentate. He was a dictator, a murderer. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, the slave, the eunuch, the castrated man out of Jerusalem, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered to Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, and to reveal your secret, seeing you could reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. He went to the top. Prime minister. Now, I want you to see another character of Daniel. He remembered his friends. You know, when you and I get in, God is blessing us. And we get into some money, whatever it is. How easy isn't it to forget those people that walk with you when you were little, when you had nothing? You know, we got new friends now. We got rich friends now. We're not running with these poor guys that we used to run with. But Daniel, remembered his friends. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he sent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king, or in his throne room. Daniel is the only man in the Bible. I'm not talking about Jesus now. He's the only man in the Bible that has no negative report from God. Every one of the other people had faults. I'm sure Daniel had some faults. But whatever it was, God never laid anything out and said, this is what Daniel done. Daniel did not make the mistakes like Moses did. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. He didn't make those mistakes. And that's why God preferred him. Because he was obedient. Absolutely no hesitation. Today, you and I are facing, as I just shared with you in a little message before I started this message, that we're facing some tremendous upheavals. If World War III breaks out, I can guarantee you that our gas will be between $7 and $8 a gallon. We're going to have food scarcity. We're going to have all kind of problems. The question is this: what can we do as Daniel did 2,500 years ago? Here's what we can do. We got the internet. We got this church building. We got these ability to webcast, we got material. If you that are here, you that are watching, would simply say, let's pump in everything we can. Let's really push in prayer, fasting. Let's put our money into the ministry. Let's begin to get our material out. I believe that we can break through. We can have a breakthrough internationally, where our material would go into so many hands that the Kabbalistic Jews would have to revamp their plans. You might say, well, you got a big head. Well, how many people did it take to bring down the Roman Catholic Church? One small, fat Catholic priest and monk by the name of Martin Luther. Martin Luther stood up and said, no more. People gathered around him, supported him, and they toppled the Roman Catholic Church and broke its power as they had it prior. And many nations were pried loose for the Catholic Church. It doesn't take a whole lot of people. But you gotta have faith, and you gotta go without compromise. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6 now. Daniel, the 6th chapter. I told Charles this week, here's how I feel. I feel like a general. I'm at war, got my troops up, and I said, where are my cannons? Where are my guns? And I'm answering in this shop being repaired. Well, I need them now. They're not ready. We have such ammunition, material, that we can simply destroy the works of the devil. And we can derail a lot of things. But it's going to take you and me together in prayer and fasting to do this. In Daniel chapter 6, if you pick it up in the first few verses here. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. He put in 120 politicians, which should be over the whole kingdom, or governors. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give a counsel to them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, let's just slow down. The king had 120 politicians or governors. He had three presidents, a troika. And then the king said, no. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get rid of the two presidents and simply make Daniel head president under me. Well, the other guys didn't like that. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but he could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful. Underline that. Daniel was faithful to whom? To the king of Babylon. And Peter tells us, serve your masters with fear, and serve them as you serve unto God. Neither was any error or fault found in him. Then said this man, we shall not find an occasion against this Daniel, except we find against him concerning the law of his God. Then his president and prince assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish the royal statute. This is politics you're reading here now. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save or you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. It sounds like they had Democrats over there at that time. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not. And the king didn't think. He signed the writings and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being opened in his chamber to a Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Look what I wrote in the box here. The decision to be thrown into the lion's den was made by Daniel when he opened his window and started to pray. I want you to see that the character of Daniel. Daniel could have simply said, okay, 30 days, I can sweat it out. I just pray quiet in the night. No one will know I'm praying to God. But Daniel was a man of no compromise. And he simply opened the windows, like he always did. And then he began to pray, not with a soft voice. But he was praising and worshiping God, knowing that the princes or the politicians were standing outside, just waiting to hear him pray, and then to turn him in. No compromise. At this time, Daniel was a rich man. He had servants. He had good food. He lived a good life. And he was jeopardizing now all these things. He had come up from nothing to this high position. And now, would he compromise to keep his position? Will you compromise when the mark of the beast comes around? And you simply say, well, I got to eat, I got to have a place to live, I got to drive my car, I got to go to work, and so on. I just take the mark of the beast. You know, God will understand. God will not understand. Now, the king had no choice. They got him trapped. If you pick her up in verse number 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on down to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king has established may be changed. Then the king commanded and he brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake unto Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Now, how do you think Daniel felt when he was lowered into the den of the lions? Well, I think that Daniel simply had this understanding. My God will take care of me. Either way, if I'm eaten or killed right here, I go to be with the Lord. No problem. If God wants to deliver me, he can deliver me. Now, the Bible says that an angel shut the mouth of the lions. Look at verse number 19. And then the king arose early in the morning and went haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, they cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, serve the living God. Is your God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel, as he went in the lion's den, looked upon those lions. They hadn't fed them, they were hungry. And the angel just came in there, just shut up their mouth. Just shut it. So then Daniel says, okay, since there's not going to be any dinner for them, I might as well have a good night's sleep. I'm sure he just lay down and pillow on one of the lions, put his feet up on the other one, and just snored away all the night, had a good time when the king was pacing up and down. You see, if you are secure in Christ, we don't fret. We don't have thoughts of maybe God will not hear us. But I want to plant a thought with you here today. Every one of us here believe that God is able to do all things. We have that in common. But here's the crux. Most of us think God will not do it in my life. We have faith that God can do anything. But Satan has blinded us to the place where we feel he will do everything for everybody else. But me, I will receive nothing. And you will receive nothing. We need to go further than just having faith in God. We need to have faith that God will work in our lives if we're going to be victorious. His enemies got destroyed. Look in verse number 24. And the king commanded, he brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of the lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had to master them and break all their bones in pieces, or even wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Now, sometimes people in seminaries says, you know, these were old lions, had no teeth, they couldn't eat Daniel. That's why he survived. Well, if these were toothless lions, they did pretty good on the rest of the guys when they came down. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was elevated by a heathen king. Look at verse number 25 through the rest of the chapter. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who has delivered Daniel for the power of the lions. That was written by a heathen king who had conquered Babylon. He was a king of the Persian Empire. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. Now, what can we learn from this here? I have 3 points, if you look at this outline here. Daniel started with faith in God. Faith in God led Daniel to have no fear. Having no fear led Daniel to never to compromise. I want you to think about in your own personal life right now. Do you have faith? Do you have no fear? Are you fearless? Are you willing never to compromise? Everybody says, well, how do we compromise? Well, let me give you just a small, tiny little compromise that most people slide over. In the Bible, we are told not to eat the pig or pork. It's not a big commandment. You're not going to go to hell for eating pork. But the Bible says don't eat it. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's the one that gave the commandment. So here you are now. He says, okay, God, I gave up pork a little while ago. And you go someplace with a family, and they have a party, and they serve you pepperoni with bacon or pork. Now you're looking at that thing, and you says, well, I'm hungry. I can't just eat the salad. You know, I need something more substantial, you know. Oh, well, one time doesn't matter, you know. One time doesn't matter. So you compromise. If you compromise in that small, tiny little thing, you're going to compromise in big things. You're going to be unfaithful to God. If you cannot be true in small things, Jesus said, if you cannot be faithful in small things, why should I put you over big things? It's the small things. Let's talk about gossip. You know, it's easy to gossip, you know. What is gossip? Let's define that. Gossip is speaking negative about somebody else. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, well, I want to tell you this and this and that about such and such a person. Number one, there's nothing you can do about it. You're just going to hear some negative stuff. It's gossip. Well, you don't want to offend the person, so you don't say anything. You need to simply say, I'm sorry. I don't like to hear gossip. I don't need to hear this. I am not in charge of that person. I have no influence on that person. I cannot do anything with that person. I don't even hear that. But you see, you compromise. Small things. Daniel was faithful in all things. Now in closing, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans the 8th chapter. If you come down to verse number 28. Now, do you want God to prefer you? Well, you know what to do. In Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Listen to that scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What should we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Last week we talked about Noah. And Noah had faith. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. He not only built that ship or boat, but he also preached for 100 years. We looked upon Daniel now. Daniel had a terrible childhood. Had a rotten start in life. But he simply said, I'm going to be faithful to God. And Daniel ended up giving a prophecy. Together with the book of Revelation, is giving us a roadmap today. What about if Daniel would have been like you and me and simply said, hey man, I'm not going to take this garbage. Let's have a shootout. You know, let's just get it over with. But Daniel's faithful. Are you faithful? Are you willing to say to God, forgive me for the compromise I've done? Forgive me for being faithless. And Father God, help me. Help me to press through and to be victorious. Can you? Absolutely. Faith in God, having no fear, never to compromise. The choice is yours. Let me try to illustrate this before I close here with invitation. We have in our congregation a man that was in World War II. And this man was just a young man, and he became a navigator in a bomber. He was in a bombing air. He was in a bomber. I think it was a B-26. Anyway, this man had to make a choice. When he was called to serve this country, he had to study first. He had to learn how to do navigation, reading maps. He had to put himself in the airplane when it was time to go. He had to fly over the ocean, locate the enemy, and when he was close to the target, taking over from the pilot, guiding it in to place the bombs on the target to destroy the enemy, and then coming back. When you do things like that, he didn't think about, you know, maybe I got shot down. Maybe I will not make it. The reason the United States won World War II was that our men fought to win. And they were allowed to win. Vietnam, they were not allowed to win. Korea, they were not allowed to win. And this is what it takes. Are you willing to simply say, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to step up and I'm going to be having faith in God. I'm going to have no fear and I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to be victorious. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you right now that you moved upon this man Daniel 2,500 years ago. And Father God, you had nothing but good to say about this man. And Lord, help us to have faith like Noah had and no compromise like Daniel. And Father God, you can trust us with finances, big jobs, small jobs, so that, Lord, we should be able to do your work. And I thank you right now, Lord, that you've heard this prayer. And Father God, if anyone that listened to me is not saved, and you says, well, I'm not even born again, I'm not saved. How do I get saved? Listen, ask God to forgive you of your sins. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Profess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he lived a sinless life, died on the cross, rose on the third day. And through his death and resurrection, you can be saved. And then you just say, Jesus, Jesus, come on in and save me. And he will. If you're here in the building, come up and speak to one of the elders. If you're not in the building, write us, call us. But most of all, pray. And God will touch you. And if you're here today and you need to rededicate your life, maybe you need to have a healing. Maybe God has called you to full-time work and you have never surrendered. Today's the day. The altars are open. You come. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to 1 of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the second part in the series, The Secret to Success with God, and was entitled, Daniel, a Man of No Compromise. Daniel was only a teenager when the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem and carried him off to Babylon, where he was castrated and trained to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel did not become depressed or pessimistic, but had total faith in God and the mindset not to compromise, and eventually he rose to become the prime minister of Babylon. In short, Daniel was one of the few men whom the Lord preferred over other men because he started with faith in God. This faith led to having no fear, and having no fear led Daniel to never compromise. You too can live a victorious life if you stand on the word of God and proclaim your love for Him. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1278. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.